Well, once again, we're coming to the timetable of the tribulation period. And I want to remind everyone that I think what I've done in chart form is something that we all should do. And that is to take the book of Revelation, which is the description of 21 judgments that are going to fall upon the earth from the hand of God. And these are judgments that the world will be well deserved of at that time. And along with those 21 judgments, there are other things also taking place during the tribulation period. And those are explained as interludes, which means a pause in the narrative where something else is explained. And it's interesting because that's a good way to reveal the things that are taking place, but the harder part is to take the whole of the book of Revelation and try to put it into an order, which is what not only I have tried to do, but there's many others who have tried to do this as well. And when I'm done with this, let me tell you that my heart, as far as this is all concerned, I'm sort of persuaded that this is what the Bible teaches, but I am interpreting the scriptures. And as I interpret the scriptures, I don't doubt that any of the things that are described in the book of Revelation are going to take place. And I believe the book of Revelation is the book about the future. And I believe that these things are going to take place upon the earth. So I don't doubt that. But when you start putting things in order, I hold that very loosely. In other words, I don't think I have the final say. The one who has the final say is God when he accomplishes all of these things. Some of the things, when you put this together, are easier to sort of address. Because the Bible will say, well, this happens in the first or the 3.5 year period of time. So you know it's either in one part or in another part. Or at the middle of this tribulation, there are certain things that will take place. But my best understanding of this, I will stand before God and say, you have the final say, and you're the one who's going to put all this in order. But I think that it is written in the style that it is written in, because it's very difficult to explain the whole thing anyway. But God wants us to ponder this. And he could have, I always, as a sort of a joke, I said, God could have put all my charts in the back of the Bible, which is sort of resolve things, and it's say, well, here, this is what it's going to be. But he didn't put my charts in the back. And what he's going to do is he's going to deal with the end times according to his word. And when you talk about the end times, I'm going to say what you do is you begin with the book of Daniel. And with the book of Daniel, you have a description of the things that are going to take place, and especially the 70 weeks of the book of Daniel. Then you have Jesus Christ talking about it in each of the gospel accounts. And he talks about things, and he talks about the book of Daniel. So he puts the book of Daniel also into the future of his coming back again. And then you come to the book of Revelation, and this vision is what John sees, and so we take this and try to put it in order. We're at the middle of the tribulation, so I get tempted to talk about all this stuff when we get to it. But let me just say what's going to, I believe, is going to take place at the beginning of the tribulation, what sort of starts things. And you'll notice that little yellow rapture above the church. And I believe the church will be raptured. Jesus Christ will come. The church of Jesus Christ will rise up and meet him in the air. And then he will come, the other see at the end of this, at the end of the tribulation, he actually will come to the earth. I view the rapture and that second coming as one event. He comes in the air, we rise up to meet him, we will go in heaven for the 7 years, and then we will come to the earth with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his coming. So I'm very comfortable saying, you know, we're looking forward to the coming of the Lord. And it will be, I think, in this kind of description, because The Lord, in describing the tribulation period in all three of the Gospels, says it will be, this tribulation is going to be like something that has never happened upon the earth. It is so bad, it has never happened on the earth, and it will never happen again. So that's Jesus talking about what's going to happen with reference to his coming. So that's why I put this in the future, or one of the reasons why I put this in the future. But one of the things that's happened is the rapture of the church, and then the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit will be withdrawn. This is the time when God is going to turn to Satan and say, it is your opportunity now to do what you've always wanted to do, to establish your kingdom upon the earth. And the restraining influence of that, the Holy Spirit, is going to be withdrawn. The saving influence of the Holy Spirit is still going to be here, but the restraining influence will be withdrawn. And Satan is going to have, and the Antichrist and the false prophet will have the power to do whatever it is they want to do. They are not restrained. So the restraining is removed. And people say, well, if the Holy Ghost is here, how are people going to be, the Holy Spirit is gone, how are people going to be saved? And I say, they're saved, they have to be saved by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But just the restraining influence, that part is gone. And you say, well, we look at our world today, and I say, if the Holy Spirit is restraining things, he needs to do a better job. Now, I say that with deep respect. But we look at our world, and we say, we're plunging into darkness. Pretty easy to see. I mean, when we come to a time where we don't know what's right and wrong, good or bad, true or false, male or female, we don't know anything anymore. And so it's sort of like at the end of the Judges when it says, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's chaos. Everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. So if it's in my right in my eyes to kill somebody, I'll go kill somebody. If it's right in my eyes to steal something, I'll steal something, because it's whatever is right in my eyes. But God is the creator. We live in his world, and we live by his ethics and morality, and he is ethics and morality. He doesn't know them. He is them. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. That's what he was talking about, and I am the life. Those things reside in him. So we live in his world. So here goes this tribulation. So then we say, well, what's the events of the first half? And I said, one of the things that are taking place, that will take place in the first half, is the establishment of the Antichrist and his kingdom. And the first four seals in the first interlude is the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. And this is a description of the Antichrist establishing his kingdom. If you want sort of a preview of that, think of Hitler. Because Hitler became very powerful, he established a very powerful army, and then he threatened the world really with conquering the world. It was his desire to do so. And he did so with war. That's what's going to happen here. The white horse is the conqueror who comes. Here's the conqueror to establish a world order. The red horse is the sword and war. And following the sword and war will be the black horse, and that's famine. It's all described in Scripture. And then the pale horse is death. And with this great attempt of the Antichrist to establish in the war and the famine and what all follows, 1/4 of the world's population will die. That's a lot of people. But this is the Antichrist. There will be 10 kings, 10 horns, described in the book of Daniel. And he will conquer 3 of those kings, and all the rest will defer to the Antichrist, he being the Antichrist. He's going to make a covenant with Israel. I used to think he's going to establish peace in the Middle East, but he's really establishing a covenant with Israel to be linked with them. So when you're in trouble, Israel, the Antichrist will fight for you. And if the Antichrist is trouble, Israel will fight with the Antichrist, for the Antichrist. It's as if Israel will sort of be receiving the Antichrist as a Messiah-type figure. So when Jesus came, they rejected him, but the Antichrist, they will join willingly and submit to him. This will bring about many of the Jews returning to Israel. It'll be a time of wealth and prosperity in Isaiah chapter 28. As we've gone through and talked about these interludes, we have gone through and talked about all of these things. One of the difficulty in speaking about this order in, you know, once a month or twice a month, which is fine what we're doing, but it's, you tend to forget the interludes as you've gone through and discussed each one of them. But we're taking those interludes, we're putting it on the chart as what it says here. Then what is going to happen is sort of that you have the beginning of this one world religion. And really the, in the terms of Babylon the Great, but the establishment of this false kingdom, riding upon this, it will be this one world religion. And the prelude for that is already set. I mean, the if you look, and I challenge you to go and look at this, but if you look at Abu Dhabi and put Abraham's family house, you will see where in this, Dubai is, there's two towns, two cities. Dubai is one city, about 81 miles away by flight, is this Abu Dhabi. And that's more of a religious center. Dubai is more of a secular Arab center. The advertisements would say, if you want to have fun, go to Dubai. If you want to go to a religious kind of place, go to Abu Dhabi. Two separate places, but the same Arab family, the Islamic Judaism and Christianity closed in one place. So if you look at that, and if you go home and there's a bunch of YouTube videos that you can go and see. Thanks, Jen, for sending some of those to me. But it's very interesting to look at this. But in the same place, you have the house of the Christians, you have the house of the Arabs, and you have the house of the Jews. And it's made specifically, these things are huge, and this place is, architecturally, it's really amazing. But it's to form one religion, the family of Abraham. And supposedly this is sort of the prelude for that. I've also heard that since Notre Dame was destroyed, Notre Dame is going to be rebuilt as a place that will be for all the faiths to go. And so this whole sense of one world religion is really growing in the world today. This one world religion will be established, and it's going to, you know, something, it's really weird to see these three huge buildings together because there's conflict between these three, and yet there they are together in Abu Dhabi. Interesting to see. Then there's something else that's going to take place, and this may be related to the two witnesses that is down on this list a little bit. But there's going to be 144,000 Jews, Jewish probably men, sealed by God, and God saying to Satan, though the restraining influence has been removed, these 144,000, you cannot touch them. They will live through the whole of the tribulation. And furthermore, they will be the 144,000, 12 times 12,000, 144,000 really missionaries going forth with the gospel, because if the church is taken out, there's no gospel ministry anymore, but now this will be the gospel ministry that goes forth to the world, and many people will be saved People think of the tribulation as a time when nobody is going to be saved, but many people will be saved. But Satan cannot touch the 144,000, but he can touch the people who are saved. And for those believers who believe and find themselves at odds with the Antichrist, if he wishes to kill them, he will kill them. He will find them, he will kill them. And he's not restrained in doing so. So there will be many martyrs. And so when you come to the fifth seal, you see all these martyrs crying out for God. When is there going to be justice? These are martyrs who have been killed during the tribulation. They are in heaven under the altar of God there, crying out saying, when will be justice? We have been slaughtered. When will there be justice? And so the 144,000 will go forth with this ministry. Many people will be saved. You say, well, why would anyone want to be saved if the outcome of being saved was to be slaughtered? And I say, well, you need to read church history. Because anytime there was a great awakening or a great revival and people were believing in salvation by grace through faith in Christ, there was a great slaughter. And I've told you all, I've been reading about church history. And when you read church history, you know, it's hard to sleep at night. You hear the things that are taking place and the awful things. Can't describe them, the awful things that have happened to Christians in the past. But it was always true that when the slaughter was going on, the church was going. And that's inexplicable except when you think about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in saving people. Because when the Holy Spirit turns the light on in our hearts, we come to Christ. When the Holy Spirit turns the lights on, we say, I see that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior. I see that by faith and trust in Him, He saves me. And though people are being killed who believe this, I believe this. And I would rather die than deny Jesus Christ as my Savior. There are people who watched the martyrs go from their prison to the gallows or to be burned at the stake. And the people who watched the people going saw these people having something that they definitely did not have. There they are walking with a sense of peace. They're walking with a sense of joy. And there are people who were saved watching people going to the gallows because of what they believed. And I say, that seems like an odd thing. Tertullian said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, because the slaughter of the Christians does not stop them from others from believing. It's really wonderful to see that. The temple in Jerusalem will be built. That's one of the things that is not there. But it will be built in Jerusalem. And whether it will be built next to the two mosques that are there, that would be very comfortable in a one-world religion. But however it is built, it will be there. Because it's necessary. That's one of the things that's necessary to happen as far as the end times are concerned. The furniture for the temple has already been made. And there are people who want to build a temple in Israel. The religious people want to build a temple. But there are so many issues involved with reference to the Arabs and Jews and the Temple Mount that right now that's being put off. You also have the ministry of two witnesses in Jerusalem. These are two people, and we can speculate on who they are, but they are not named, so we don't know. But these are two witnesses that God has put in, given great power. And they will witness to Jesus Christ as the Son of God. It may be the 144,000 are saved under the ministry of these witnesses. We don't know. Those aren't put together like that, so that's perhaps true. Then you have the formation of the first of two battles in the millennial kingdom, in the tribulation period, excuse me. And the first battle happens about the middle. And this will be a battle because the Jews have, many have returned. This is not the restoration. Jesus Christ himself will bring about the restoration of Israel to Israel. But because there's peace and prosperity in Israel, Israel will have not the wars and not all the things that are going on with reference to the Antichrist establishing his kingdom. So it will be a place of wealth and prosperity. And there'll be a northern alliance of people that will come from the north and a southern alliance that comes people from the south. And they will come together to destroy Israel and take all the wealth that is there in Israel. This will be coming for the final solution. And it is the Lord who really delivers Israel, but it is the Antichrist who will take the credit, because he will come also to fight for Israel. And this battle is described in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 and to 45, and Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And you can read about this great battle. So at the middle of the tribulation, there's a description of Michael, the archangel, or one of the archangels, casting Satan out of heaven. At the present time, Satan has access into heaven. He is the accuser of the brethren, but he has access, and the demons have access into heaven. You say, they can go into heaven? I said, until the middle of the tribulation. And they are all cast out. And Satan is cast down to the earth. And when Satan comes, he comes to establish this kingdom. He will depict himself as being God the Father, and the Antichrist being the Christ, the Son, and the false prophet being the Holy Spirit. And he comes as this evil triad. It's not a trinity, it's a triad. Because it's not three in one, it's three together joining to establish this kingdom. So God defeats and destroys this coalition of the northern and southern alliance, and you can read the passages that are there about that battle. It's different from Armageddon. When you read about Armageddon, it's about all the nations gathering and gathering in the Valley of Megiddo, you know, to fight against Israel and against God. But that's a different battle than this movement of coming from the south and coming from the north and the way in which it's described. It may, at this point, be true that the Antichrist is slain and is raised up by Satan and rules as a beast. That's a possibility. When it says in the description of what is taking place, when it says that the head of is one of these kingdoms is dealt a mortal blow, and yet it recovers, that may be also reference not to the Antichrist, that may be a reference to the real establishment of this kingdom. There are seven kingdoms that are described as Egypt and Assyria, Babylon, Medes and Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. And yet it says there are seven, and the seventh one is Satan's kingdom. And it may look like this Roman kingdom has been dealt a death blow, and yet it rises up. So it may be referring to that. I kind of like the idea of the Antichrist being slain, but people object to that view because only God can raise the dead. And Satan, whatever power he doesn't have the power of life. He has the power of death. But it may be that God raises this Antichrist, and Satan will take the credit for that. But God is letting Satan have free reign during this period of time to establish his kingdom, so he may give this Antichrist back to him. But what happens from this time forward, the Antichrist is revealed as being the beast. And he will turn from being Mr. Charming and Mr. World Leader and Mr. Articulate and Mr. Handsome and Mr. Everything and Mr. Everyone thinking this is the person that we should follow. Even Israel thinks that. He will go from being that to being one who wants everyone to worship him. And so it may be that he becomes this beast, because he's described as a beast. So I think there's a transition that takes place with reference to him. And the dragon is cast out of heaven. He gives the beast power. He gives him his throne and gives him the authority. And then it's the beast then that begins his worldwide dominion. And again, for me to just say all this, we're still getting up to where we were, but the beast begins his worldwide rule. And he appears as the abomination of desolation. And read in, look at Matthew. Let me just read this part. Because this is where Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 24. So turn your Bibles to Matthew 24. And beginning in Matthew 24, beginning in verse 15. It says this, therefore, when you see, and this is Jesus Christ talking, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Now remember what the disciples are being asked here is, they sat there, they said, tell us when will the destruction of Jerusalem be? That was in 70 AD. And tell us what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age. So now he's starting to talk about this, what Daniel was talking about. So he's tying Daniel, projecting it off into the future, associated with his coming at the end of the age. He says, when you see the abomination of desolation, verse 15, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in the Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant, to those nursing babes in those days. Pray that your flight will not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. He talks about looking for the Messiah, and people saying, "Go, here's the Messiah. Here, the Messiah's there. He's coming," and all the rest. He said, "No, it'll be obvious when he comes. You don't have to look for the second coming of Christ. When he comes, he's going to come with great power and great authority, and he's going to put to end to this satanic kingdom." But here we have this appearing of the abomination of desolation sitting in the temple saying, I am God. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. I am whatever it is that you believe is coming to establish this glorious kingdom. I am that person. But then what he's going to do is a little bit strange, not strange to our ears, but strange is he's going to break his covenant with Israel because he's going to persecute them. And when he takes his seat, he's not only going to destroy Israel, but he's going to destroy world religion. So whatever is taking place in Dubai, is going to be either destroyed or just unified with one building. And it's the building of the worship of the Antichrist. They will worship him. Since the temple will be in place, he will stop the sacrifice and grain offerings that are taking place in the temple because he is God. They're not to worship what they think to be Yahweh God. They're going to have to worship the Antichrist. And that's why, for a couple of reasons, the Lord says, when you see the Antichrist taking his seat in the temple and declaring himself to be God, I think he'll take his seat in the Holy of Holies and sit there, and that will be his throne room, and he will say, I am God. Worship me. So all of the sacrifice and grain offerings will be discontinued, and he will present himself in the temple of God, and he will be persecuting Christians and the Jews. And he will double down on all of that. But that also will be the beginning of tribulation upon the earth. That's why the second half is called the Great Tribulation. And that's when the false prophet, at this middle point, he emerges with authority and great signs and great deception. And he will make an image of the beast that speaks. You say, will this be a computer image? I mean, what kind of image are we talking about? And I say, I think it will be a demonic kind of image. But the beast will speak, and probably it will speak with the sound of the Antichrist. It will speak and lead people astray. So wherever is taking place will take place with this beast and this image. And the Antichrist, or the false prophet, will have great power, be able to call fire down from heaven. He has great power. This is God giving all of this power to Satan and this unholy triad. This is to be the time when the mark of the beast, I believe, will be implemented. You can't buy and sell unless you have the mark of the beast. And that's number 666, which, if that's some kind of a computer chip or some kind of seal, or, you know, if you watch the old movies about the second coming of Christ, which usually are not all that true. But if you watch these movies about, you know, you see people walking around with 666 on their forehead, you know, big, you know, I'm not sure that's what it's going to be, but people like tattoos, so maybe that will be, and they'll just celebrate the tattoos. But you walk in the store, you got 666 on your forehead, or had it on your arm or hand. You know, you can buy and sell. If you don't, you can starve. And anyone found buying food for those who are not there will be in trouble as well. But they will buy and sell with the mark of the beast. Have we had a prelude seeing things like that taking place? I think we've seen some of that, and with reference to COVID and some of the things taking place, and the government saying you can't do something if you don't have the shot or something, or you don't have the mask or whatever it is, that they can, you know, the government can say you can't go into stores, you can't go into business, you can't do anything. We've seen that kind of thing, but this will be the full picture of that. You have really the unholy triad set up with the kingdom. The devil will never be as happy as he is at this time. He's having his way. He's destroying, or seeking to destroy, whatever it is that God is doing, and he's setting up his kingdom. Now, let me say one other thing. I had a student come to me and say, since only God knows when Jesus Christ is going to come, doesn't that mean that Satan always has to have an antichrist in the wings? An antichrist prepared to serve as the antichrist. And I told the student, well, nobody's ever asked me that question before, which is kind of unique, because pretty much when you teach juniors and seniors in high school, you've pretty much answered the questions that they have. But I thought that was a great question. I said, well, probably so. And like I said before, I think Hitler would be a prelude or a picture of the kind of antichrist who has world dominion and willing to gather the world with war and killing the Jews, slaughtering the Jews. That's sort of a prelude picture of that, and maybe Satan was trying to press fast into establishing his kingdom when he wants to establish it. Because I think the whole of Hitler's domain was satanic. But that was not it. But does that mean there's an antichrist alive in the world today? There's one that could possibly be that, and if the Lord is coming soon, it will be that. But he may be alive and well and rising to power as we speak. The Lord may come soon. The Lord could come after all of us are gone. The Lord doesn't say exactly when that's going to be, but there's a lot of things taking place in this time that has to be there. Israel has to be a nation in order for the Antichrist to make a peace treaty with an alliance with Israel as a nation. So Israel has to be a secular nation making an alliance with the Antichrist in order for prophecy to be fulfilled. The temple has to be built. But that could be done, built very quickly. It could be built as a tabernacle even. So there's a lot of things that need to be taking place, but we see a lot of that in this whole world religion, globalism, technology. When we talked about those two witnesses will be slain, and it says people in all around the world will give presents to one another when these two witnesses are dead. They hate them that much. Well, that's a recent development that we can see what's going on the other side of the world in a matter of minutes. I always like to talk about Jonathan Edwards, who was interested in what was going on in Israel, and he had all of the news that ever got to Jonathan Edwards was 4 months old. He had to wait 4 months to get the current news of what's going on in Israel, which was 4 months old. But when these two witnesses die, the world is going to see it. How does that happen? Well, it happens with technology. How does the 666 take place? It may take place with technology. So there's a lot of things that have to be developed in order for things to take place, but there's about the only thing that you could say about the tribulation that needs to be there is that temple on the Temple Mount. The other thing that starts in the middle is the sixth seal. The first four seals are about the Antichrist establishing his power in the first part. The fifth seal is about the martyrs. The sixth seal is where God starts the judgments that touch the natural world. And these judgments that come, we've looked at each one of these judgments in the past, but these judgments are going to cause people to be totally unnerved. I mean, part of there's times in the tribulation when the sun does not shine. So you say to me, well, how does it happen that the sun does not shine? And I say, well, because God will turn it off and turn it on if he wants to. He's Almighty God. He made the sun. He can unmake it for a while and make it again. But God can do that. And what would happen if you looked up in the sky and you saw the stars starting moving all over the place? You would say, what is happening to our world? People are used to the sun coming up tomorrow. What if it doesn't come up tomorrow? What if darkness continues? I would say if I was living as a non-Christian on the earth and saw, you know, a bunch of Christians either being caught up in the air or disappearing up in the air or somehow, and that beginning this whole thing, and then all of a sudden the Lord touches the natural world in such a way that, you know, there's asteroids hitting the earth, hitting the sea. The sea turns to blood. There's things that only God can do in judgment. That's why that's never happened before. None of those things has ever happened before and will ever happen again. But God is going to take the natural order of things and totally it falls apart. And that is the beginning of this sixth seal is the beginning of the natural divine judgments, the judgment that God is putting upon the whole of the universe. And again, you say, can God do that? And I say, Almighty God can do this. Because here's Satan establishing his kingdom, and the domain of this kingdom is falling apart at the seams. And this takes place over this 3.5 year period. So the second part is really this great tribulation. There's tribulation for 7 years and great tribulation for the 3.5. And that's when the trumpet, the seventh seal, is the seven trumpets appear. And with each blast of the trumpet, there's a judgment. And the seven trumpets will blast, and when the seventh trumpet blasts, seven angels will appear with seven bowls of wrath of God to pour out upon the earth, and those judgments, they're similar, both the trumpets and the bowl judgments are similar to one another. One and one, two and two are like, three and three, four and four. There's a similarity in what's taking place, but it's just basically the upheaval of the whole of the natural order. Here man is living in a world, instead of being in a constant state, everything is going to be changing. And it will be terrifying. I mean, what's, you look at this, you say, what is happening to our world? So, this unholy triad will rule. And with persecution of Christians and the destroying of one world religion and the Antichrist and the seven other kings are going to destroy world religion and take all the wealth of all of the religion. This is the time of Jacob's trouble, the day of the Lord, the great tribulation. And Israel will again be persecuted, and the Christians will be persecuted. And that's why it says to the people who have ears to hear, when you see the Antichrist taking a seat in the temple, get out of Jerusalem. Do not turn around. Do not take a second look. Get out and go hide. Because there's going to be such a judgment upon the earth and a judgment upon the Antichrist himself. Well, this is then begin the time of the seals. The seventh seal will turn, is this time of silence where you have the seven trumpets appear and then you have the judgments of those. The seventh trumpet appears, there are voices from heaven, and seven bowls appear with seven angels pouring out wrath. So if you look at the tribulation period and the great tribulation, it's like a time where the world starts falling apart and the tribulation goes like it just gets worse and worse and worse. That's the way these tribulation destructions, the trumpets and bowls are described. And a couple other things is the rise of this Eastern Alliance. Not everyone is going to love this one world dominion, and there's an Eastern Alliance, which will be the Eastern nations will join together and say, we are going to face the Antichrist, we're going to face, and we are going to rule this world. And that is going to approach, that will start the approach to the Battle of Armageddon. And the kingdom gospel will be preached worldwide unto the end. During this whole time, there will be people who are saved. There will be people who go into caves and cry out for the caves to fall upon them and kill them, which will not happen to them, but they can cry out for that. But there also will be people saved. So I say, even during this tribulation period when God is pouring out his judgment, there will be grace. There will be grace. And there will be many people who are saved during this time, and they will suffer. Well, there's more to be said about this second half of tribulation, but I'm endeavoring to put it in an order. You say, well, are you positive of this order? And I've already said, no. I'm coming to something that is explained in a general way and saying, okay, let's think about how this would look like if it actually happened in a chronological order. Some of this may happen at different times, but the fact of these events, I'm pretty sure, are going to take place. In fact, I believe with all my heart it's going to take place. When and where and how and to the extent and the fullness of all this, only God knows. When God was speaking to Daniel and he was talking about the things to come, at some point he came to a place where he said, no, just seal it up. You're not going to know this till the end. I think there's things that are still sealed up that we can't know until the end. But the end is coming. You may think, well, life on planet Earth is just going to continue and continue and continue and continue. I say, no, it's not. Because the Bible says these events are going to take place, and God is going to burn up the whole of the universe, and he's going to put it all back new with superior innovations. That day is coming. So it's wonderful to look at this, as complicated as it may be, but to be simplistic with what is revealed. And people read their Bibles and they read the book of Revelation and they read about these things and they can read about them and say, well, I don't know when and where and how this is going to take place, but this does not sound like something great, because it will be a time of judgment upon the earth. It ought to make us thankful for the grace of God. And it is totally amazing when you think about the grace of God that is revealed to us because of the love of God. And America and The nations of the world should be ashamed of rejecting God and rejecting His truth. But God is going to reestablish His rightful dominion. And He's going to give Satan every opportunity to do whatever it is that he wants to do. And this is a 7-year kingdom, and Jesus Christ will come and establish His 1,000-year reign. That's why Hitler talked about the Third Reich, 1,000-year reign on the earth. That's what he was aiming for too. Jesus Christ will bring it about. He will establish His rightful authority that was thrown away in the Garden of Eden by Adam and Eve as our representatives. He's going to reestablish His rightful rule. He's going to reestablish His rightful dominion. He's going to reestablish it with people saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's us. That's us. So there's this whole thing going to happen. But we look at this and we say, we look through a glass darkly at the things in the future. But God will make it clear. So our hope and trust is in Him. So let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace. We're thankful that You are a loving God. And even in the face of judgment, You are saving people. And we're thankful that You are graciously working in our hearts. We pray for our country. We pray for the many people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that You'd open their eyes to see. And we pray that You would bring about revival and awakening, that many people in our day shall be brought to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Please forgive us as a nation for walking away from You. And in Your walking away from You, You have really walked away from this nation. And we are in darkness. But Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And the gospel message is the light of the world. And we as Christians need to stand for the truth and be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're thankful for all that You're doing. We're thankful that You are going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And You will establish Your dominion and Your authority, which we greatly hope in and greatly rejoice in. So thank You for Your truth. Thank You for guiding us in the truth. Pray that You will accomplish Your word in Your way. Your word in Your way. Which is always the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.